And welcome to the Under the Bus podcast. I'm Clayton, joined by Merch. Merch, how you doing?
I'm doing good. These me and you podcasts always take me back to a couple years ago.
Oh man, it was just recapping games, man. That was a long time ago. That was when I was at my old house, man.
I'm doing good.
Good. All right, we're gonna do a bit of a free flow podcast. Alan's not gonna be able to make it. He's got some friends over. I tried to get our buddy Raj in, but I think he's mad at me because I was down on Riverside. And no, I'm just playing. But he's busy anyways. But so we're just gonna do a little bit of a free flow podcast. I have a hard time like freaking out over everything. I'm more annoyed with the team at this point. Mm-hmm. I know some people are like, I've seen some people flip the hell out, and I don't personally understand it. I guess that's the life of a fan though. Excuse me. The first thing we're going to get into really quick, I think injuries, we'll just get into injuries really fast. We had, the Lakers had Torian Prince out for a game or two. AD was out for a game. JHS technically has been out, but I don't think Darvin would play him anyways. And then Gabe Vincent is still out. I think it was out last time we recorded. If not, it was shortly after that. And then Jackson Hayes missed a game. And who was the last one?
Vando.
Oh yeah, obviously Vando has not played a game this year. But it seems like he's making his way back.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he isn't back during his homestead, which is like 5-6 straight home games, I think. Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. I think of those injuries, obviously AD being out against Houston. It was a joke.
Alfred Shengun legit looked like Jokic there.
Yeah, I didn't actually bother to watch that game. I'm still trying to figure out why I didn't watch that game. And then when I saw the score, I was like, yeah, I'm not watching that. It might have been because I was still not feeling great. I don't know. Anyways, after seeing that score, I was like, yeah, I'm not even going to bother. There's no point. It's just going to piss me off. But yeah, other than the AD one, which seems to just kind of be like a minor thing, it's really the Jared Vanderbilt injury that is still kind of holding back the Lakers, because it seems like he's going to be the starter long term, which in both of our opinion is the correct move,
especially with the way the starting units come out energy wise.
Yeah, they came out better against, what game was it?
It was Miami. The Heat and the Suns.
Yeah, they looked better. The Suns game was not a great first. They were still down.
They started. So my bad. Starting lineup. I think it was like a tie game when they essentially subbed Austin in to recreate that the beginning starting lineup, and they kind of lost their lead there.
Yeah. And then I lost my train of thought because we were talking about that. Thanks.
The starting lineup.
Yeah.
And the bad starts.
Yeah, the bad starts. It's interesting. It's because like I think they have, other than Torian Prince, I think they have 4 of the 5 right guys to start. I do. I
will say this. I think Austin is going to come off the bench for the somewhat foreseeable future. If I had to make a guess, I think that's going to be what's going to happen.
And that's fine if he's still getting the minutes. That's the most important thing.
To be a man rule. Has to be that Manu rule.
Yeah, and if that's what they're going to do and everything, you know, like Manu was a multiple time All Star and blah blah blah. Not saying that Austin is or will be Manu. I hate the Spurs, but like Manu was technically an all-time great.
Imagine Manu as like a number one on a team. I feel like he could have put up like 25 plus a night or something. Something crazy.
Oh man, it wouldn't shock me in the slightest. But So if we take him out, then that's three of the five starters. I don't I don't like Torian Prince starting. This is going to sound like the Torian Prince bashing that has been on Gabe Vincent, and I'm sorry. Let me just start off with, I do not understand the infatuation Lakers fans have with him. I guess for me, he's a role guy who is, don't get me wrong.
In archetype, yes, I get it.
In reality, though, the thing is he's being made out to be as like a star 3-and-D guy. He's not. He never has been. He's a solid role guy who, at this point in his career, should not be playing. What did he play against the Suns? It was like 30-something.
Yeah.
It was. I saw that it was at 29 minutes, and in the fourth quarter was still about halfway through, and it was that lineup that was doing really good. Had like Reddish, and I know Reddish needed a step out because he had not really had a break, but then they subbed in Torian, and it just immediately went to shit again.
Then they brought Cam back in for Rui, essentially.
Yeah, which was like, what the fuck? Rui was doing really good. Like, if you had Prince at the minutes that Rui is getting, which...
Hold on, I'm looking right now at Rui. Because I remember Rui only had like 11 minutes going into the fourth quarter, yeah. Or something like that.
Yeah.
So Rui ended up with 20 minutes on the night, somehow.
Yeah, somehow. How many minutes did...
33 for Torian Prince. He played the fourth most minutes.
Like, oh my god. Why? He's not the fourth best player on your team. He's not the fourth most valuable player on your team.
And I thought Christian Wood was really good, was solid last night too, and he only played 18 minutes.
Like, why is Max Christie not playing? He's played good. He played just as good as Torian Prince had when Torian was out.
The only argument you can make for Torian is, oh no, never mind. I was going to say it's his shooting, but right now he's shooting 34% from three at the moment.
He's not shooting well. Like,
Max hasn't shot well, but Max is a better defender, I think.
I'll say that. Torian is not a good defender. I don't know if I agree with that.
He is
not a good defender in the way that Lakers fans think he is. I swear to God,
the way that Darvin is using him, no, he is not a good defender. He's not the guy you want on Bradley Beal. He's not the guy you want on Kevin Durant. He's
playing him like Frank did with freaking Avery Bradley.
He's the guy that you want on. I'm trying to think of the what was the starting lineup for the Suns? Was KD at the four?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah.
And he's been kind of a four for a long time.
And you don't really want Torian on like Grayson Allen or I think Eric Gordon starts.
I think he started, but he isn't the starter.
Right. I think Allen normally starts, and Booker is the in place of Gordon, obviously. Yeah,
and then Beal, of course, is supposed to, and Booker was out, and blah blah blah. They're a health mess.
I'm trying to think of I think you want him on an Aaron Gordon type, like ideally. Even Aaron then, I think Gordon is Aaron. Like from, a four from the Nuggets.
Yeah. Okay. I wanted to make sure. I could see something like that. My only problem is that Aaron Gordon is a really good rebounder, and Torian Prince doesn't know what the fuck a rebound is. I was looking up his rebound percentage because I couldn't remember. Like, has he always been this bad of a rebounder? And if you go back, like, he's had 1 year where it was at six, and that was in 2019-2020 when he was with the Brooklyn Nets. Other than that, his high was his second year at 4.7, and he was getting 4.7 in 30 minutes. He's playing 30 minutes a night for the Lakers right now. And he is averaging a grand total of 1.6. Dude doesn't know how to rebound. It's embarrassing how bad of a rebounder he is. If you go to advanced stats.
Damn. Yeah, he's 12th on the team in total rebound percentage.
His total rebound percentage is 2.8%.
Austin has a better rebound percentage than him.
He does. Yeah, like I get it. Like he's on or supposed to be in theory on the perimeter, so like he shouldn't really have to. The thing is then he goes and crashes the boards and he has no idea what the fuck he's doing.
You go to Max Christie, who has a 10.2% rebound percentage right now, which I obviously limited minutes, but
yeah,
but Rui has a 12 rebound. He's fourth on the team rebound percentage. It's with 12.
And I get Rui had the injury issue a little bit as well. I get that. So like, if you're wanting to ease him in, was Rui hurt the first game of the year? I don't remember that. And then all of a sudden he had the injury. But he didn't play hardly any minutes. Torian, the minutes that Torian is getting should be flipped with Rui.
It's essentially, like, I keep saying this and I keep harping on it, and I might get annoying at a certain point, but, like, they think they have him in the Vanderbilt role. That is 100% the way he's being used as Jared Vanderbilt.
And he's not Jared Vanderbilt. And it's not working. He's not the defender that Jared Vanderbilt is, and he's not the rebounder Jared Vanderbilt is.
No.
And you could say, well, Clayton, he's a better shooter. He's shooting dog shit right now. Like, dude's not shooting well. I mean, I also said this in a chat with a couple other buddies who aren't Lakers. Well, one is a Lakers fan, but the other is a Miami Heat fan. And I said that you could bring in Steph. You could bring in Clay, you could bring in Reggie Miller, you could bring in Ray Allen, and you could bring in Dirk Nowitzki, and all of a sudden those guys would become league average shooters at best somehow. When it comes to Lakers. It makes no sense. But going back to Torian, he is viewed as some incredible defensive stopper. And like if you go look at his defensive his DBPM, his defensive whatever per minute. I can't remember exactly what they have there. I'm trying to look it up, but of course, Basketball Reference doesn't want to work. He hasn't been a positive defender any year except in 2016, 2017, essentially his rookie year. That was a positive year. Mm-hmm. And then 0.0 2 years ago with Minnesota. If you go to defensive win shares, like he is at 0.1 this year, and it's just like it's not very high. It's not very good. Like he's not a great defender. And then if we want to go to his shooting, he's shooting 34%. He's a 37% 3-point shooter, and if you would ask Lakers fans, I swear to God, they would tell you that he was a career 40%. Like, he's a slightly above league average 3-point shooter and an average at best defender.
I'd have to find his averages when it comes to the corners, which is where he's supposed to be great at. It feels like he hasn't been so far, but I think he's a career like 44% 3-point shooter from the corners.
He's of course not doing that now.
Yeah, yeah.
His defensive box plus minus. So I guess that's kind of bleh looking at it. But I feel like I know I've heard other people quote that. Corner threes. I mean, Okay. For a second, I confused attempts with percentage, and I was like, "There's no way in hell." 41% for his career. That's actually, if you look at a lot of role players, that's not amazing. 41% from the corners is fine. This year, he's shooting 17.6% from the corners.
Bro,
53% of his shots this year are coming from the corner.
Then how is he shooting 34%? What the hell? He must be amazing on the wings then.
Apparently. Like, it's just amazing.
Honestly,
56% of his overall shots are coming from three, and 34.4%. And again, 53.1% are corner threes, and 17.6% from the corner.
I will say to help out Torian in this respect, I do think, and this is a team issue at the moment, I think there's a lot of positive regression coming for the shooting, because D'Angelo is shooting 31% from three. Austin Reaves is shooting 30% from three. They're not that level of shooters. They're just not. Yeah, you know,
it'll come. Don't get me wrong. Like, I think my frustration with Torian is, he's playing awful, and he's put into a role that he's not cut out for.
With Gabe Vincent too, that we talked about in the past.
Yeah. Like both of those guys, like, Lakers fans looked at them as like amazing. No, neither of those guys are great. They're fine. Like when I was talking about Gabe Vincent in the offseason, he's fine. Not $9.5-10 million a year, in my opinion, but apparently other people think so, which, I mean, I strongly disagree with, but whatever. But like, they're playing awfully. Like, they're just so, those two, like, Gabe being out is like, I'm not saying it's a good thing at all.
No, I think I'm not, because of the way that Darvin uses it.
Yeah, I just wish he would get away from the quote unquote new toys, sticking guys in a role that they're not meant for. And if they're not a vet, they're not playing. It doesn't make any sense. Like, Max Christie, this is your guy that you could have a lot riding on. Like, a former top five overall recruit, looked really good in summer league. Yes, I know it's summer league, but I mean, everyone wanted to talk their shit about Cam Whitmore winning summer league MVP, and that dude's in the G League. So like, I don't, you can't go back and forth on that. So it's frustrating, because like, it's obvious to see. It's so blatantly obvious. Like, when Corian is on the floor, he's not playing well, and yet he's playing 34 minutes a night against Phoenix. He's playing 30 minutes a night this season, and yes, I know he's only played like six games or whatever like that. It doesn't matter. Like, he's playing too much. The dude is a in my opinion, a 15 to 18 minutes a night guy. That's what he's supposed to be. And you're playing him twice as much. You're asking him to do too much. And of course he looks like dog crap, because that's not what he is. So I guess my issue for it is like, Darvin has no idea apparently what he's doing. Like, I'm not here to say like, fire Darvin Ham. That is not what I'm saying at all.
Do you really trust Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka to hire the correct coach? No. Because you know who it may end up being if they fire him? It'll be fucking Doc Rivers.
I do not ever want to see Glenn ever back in Staples Center again. Period.
Man,
as a coach for another team, even, I don't want to ever see his face on a sideline. A dude is not a good coach.
So I'm looking at the plus minus for like the individual players right now, or the net rating, and we only have three guys who are positive plus minus. The jump. So it's Christian Wood, who's been good this year, 9.5 net rating.
He's been really LeBron, good. LeBron, of course.
And Gabe Vincent, who has been in some good lineups essentially in the four games he's played. And then after that, it's a jump to D'Angelo Russell. So Gabe Vincent is a plus 2.9 in net rating. It's a jump to D'Angelo Russell, who's a negative 6.4. And yeah, I think it's skewed a lot by the Rocket and Magic games.
Yeah.
It's skewed a lot by those games. Right now, Austin's down a minus 13.1. Rui minus 12.6, and Cam minus 13.2. So that, like, those are guys who have won some games for the Lakers. Well, maybe not Rui, because Rui hasn't really played a ton. But like, I mean, yesterday he was really good. He had a career high in steals and everything. But it's just like, it just feels like a lot of positive regression should be coming for a lot of these players, assuming the correct lineups. I mean, like, I don't understand how, but like, we all thought that Christian Wood would be the guy that Darvin would rely on way too much, and in reality, he's not relying on him enough.
Yeah,
in the game where the Lakers got him for, AD is out. You're playing the Houston Rockets, who should be a bad defense or a below average defense. Why does Christian Wood have one shot? What is the offense? I love Austin Reeves. I love D'Angelo Russell. They don't need to be doing pick and rolls and ISOs like they're prime James Harden. So, like, he needs to learn how to use the guys who have been playing well more. I also think Rui's plus minus is majorly skewed by that Rockets game as well. He's only played, I think, six games, and one of them was a 30-point blowout, essentially.
And several of those games are also where he's not playing a lot of minutes. I mean, first and
the game I think he played the most minutes was that game against the Rockets.
It's just, I don't know. He's not putting him in any of the players really into a position to succeed. We knew the defense would be pretty good, and overall, I would still say the defense, when it's locked in, it's good. Problem is,
yeah, it's offensive rebound.
When are they locked in? But yeah, no. sorry about that. The rebounding issue. One,
it's bad.
It's man. Switching Jared in for Taurean will be a godsend to the starting lineup. Just
period. And missing Rui for three. Like if you have Rui that Magic game, we probably, it's at least a close game. You know, it's at the very least a close game. It's not a 20-point game where they had, I think they had like 11-1 in offensive rebounds, and they were like 20-0 in like second chance points in the first half. Mo Wagner and Goga Batazde are destroying you because and this is not AD's fault. AD gets pulled out every time because of the defense, so he's not in position to rebound. And then D'Lo and Austin aren't good rebounding guards. Austin's been good on offensive board this year, but he's weaker, so he can't really box out as well. Taurean Prince is not a good rebounder, and LeBron is LeBron. He rebounds when he wants to rebound. He's been mainly fine, but he kind of dozes off at certain points.
I think
Jackson Hayes is the guy who goes after, like, he's too crazy on rebounds. He goes after everything, and then he fouls people.
He needs to cool it as a Jackson Hayes fan. Yeah, no, he definitely needs to bring it down because it's been a bit too much. But
like the rebounding's obviously been the best when Christian Wood has been in the game with Anthony Davis, because Wood's been very good at rebounding so far this year.
Like play two bigs.
Play Rui.
Yeah, like play big lineups. Like why is it that, man, it's just so crazy, because like one it's hysterical, because like Taurean Prince, when he was drafted, he was listed at 6'8". I remember that. Mm-hmm. And then now he's listed at 6'6", which, I mean, it seems like he's shrinking, which is probably more of like the actual height for him. But the dude plays like he's shorter than Gabe Vincent. Like, he there's like no muscle like in the lineups. Like, it's just so weird, man. Like, the offense you can say, just because everyone is shooting poorly. I get that. You know, that's something that will have a positive regression, as you said. But like, it's, there's, oh my word, when LeBron and AD are just taking their time, you know, like I get it. Like, LeBron is a top 2-3, in some people's opinion, one player ever. But like, there's a lot of feel out games going on. There's a lot of like, oh, I don't want to set the tone. Like, if you want to be the top dog, like, you got to set the, you got to.
The funny thing is, the games he set the tone, they've won.
They're good. Yeah.
They've won.
When the Lakers,
except for maybe that Heat game, except for that Heat game, which we should have won.
Which there's some stupidity in that game from D'Lo. There's some bad shooting. There's some bad other nonsense. You know,
bad reffing. You know,
all that. Like, whatever. I'm not going to bitch on the reffing because...
No, because they had many opportunities to yeah. take the lead in that game. So I don't really care. And there was the last two-minute report, they were correct on everything.
Yeah.
So
like, I'm not gonna stress about that. But like, the Lakers should have won that one. They should have. Yes. They should be 5-4. They should be 4-5 at the moment.
They shouldn't have been in the position where they needed a Cam Reddish corner three to win it.
Yeah.
Austin missed two. LeBron missed two threes. Like, first off, LeBron, you were killing them in the paint that whole game. I think you had like five dunks.
At the end of the game, LeBron, a lot of the time, is settling for perimeter stuff, and it's killing me. It's like,
which is why Austin's been better when it comes to closing out games.
Yeah,
because he doesn't shoot threes. He mainly shoots that mid-range jumper.
Yeah, it's. And then on top of that, you have AD, who is still one of the most talented and best players in the league. But I don't remember who said it, if it was our buddy Nas or if it was someone else in the timeline that said, like, I think it was actually on Spectrum. If he doesn't get, like, his first shot or two, no, I think it was Nas, doesn't get his first shot or two of a half going, or like he's not feeling it, he essentially takes a back seat.
The thing is too, just like I get when people say that he should be like kind of demanding the ball in closing.
He needs to. I'm sorry.
I get that. They need to run offense for him. They don't run offense for AD.
Yeah.
Especially in clutch time. LeBron has been really good this season in clutch time, outside of that Heat game. I think he's 11 for 15. 11.
Yeah.
Yeah. In clutch buckets. Outside of the end of that Heat game, he has been really good in the clutch.
Yeah.
They need to run plays for Anthony Davis. It is not that hard to get him open. It is not that hard to get the mismatches you want. It's not that hard to run a LeBron and AD pick and roll and have LeBron have an easy bucket or have AD have
it's
an
easy
bucket. And I know AD wasn't playing that game. He was hurt. He told you he wasn't playing at the end of that Heat game. So that's different. But, like, just in general, they do not run offense for him. And it's so frustrating.
Yeah, it's...
They treat him like he's, like Dennis Rodman or something.
Yeah.
That might be over that range a tad.
They need to do more pick and roll. They need to do more pick and pop. They need to clear out for him. Like, but then...
Especially
but
Christian Wilson there. Have him run talk screen. Get him moving. Yeah. We've said this for years. Get him on the move.
also, he shouldn't be shut down by Drew Eubanks.
Which is fair. But I've said it before. This is a classic AD first game of an injury game.
I know.
Which shouldn't happen. But like, and I know it was only a one game off he had. A game and a half off, whatever.
Yeah.
But like, it's just so frustrating because what happened to that offense for AD was grabbing and going that we saw in the preseason. What happened to that? Yeah. They were running this five out style AD at the top of the key, running the offense through him in the preseason, and they completely went away from it. What happened? AD is such a good passer for his position.
Yeah.
They don't utilize it enough, especially when Wood's in there.
Yeah. Also, like the fact that the Lakers have good passers now. This isn't like 2 years ago when just no one could get an entry pass into him, you know?
Yeah, this isn't the championship team where it was like LeBron and Rondo. That's why Rondo played so much in the playoffs that he could get a pass into AD.
Yeah, yeah. Like, this is not then, you know? Like, you have...
This is KCP throwing the worst lobs ever. Danny Green throwing the worst lobs ever to Anthony Davis.
Yeah. You had AD, or you have AD with a good rapport with Austin. D'Lo is a really good passer. He can get erratic at times, but overall, like, when he needs to make a pass, he can make the pass. You know, LeBron's a good passer. You know, like, there are guys that can do it, and they just don't. They don't. And then,
that's
like,
why it's so frustrating the way they use
them. A back seat, and I'm just like, what are you doing?
And that happened. That seems to happen during games too, where the first half they're running all these plays for him, right?
Yeah.
He scores 20 and a half. The next half it goes to LeBron ISOs constantly, or a bad Austin shot, or a bad D'Lo shot. Like, why go away from it? Like, it's right there. It's it doesn't take a Eric Spoelstra level offensive mind to come up with, oh, AD is quite possibly the most fluid athlete we've seen in years, in decades ever in basketball. And let's run him off screens. Use him as a guard in terms of like setting screens. He can run those curls. He should be spotting up a lot more. He can cut. He can do all these things. It just like, I don't know what happened to the preseason. What I don't know what happened to that style of offense they were running. That like I even called it like when during the summer league when they had Colin Castleton essentially running point center. That is how they should be using Anthony Davis.
Yep, I remember.
Because he's, I mean, as much as we like Colin Castleton, AD is like 50 Colin Castletons.
Yeah, I know. Castleton's a good, potentially in the future, third big.
Yeah.
Well, I know he struggled in the Houston game.
That's just Houston, Alfred Shengun. He's nuts.
Yeah. Houston also just has a lot of talent.
Yes.
A lot of talent.
It's essentially a Clayton team. Just the way that they're built, it's essentially a team ran by you outside of like the Dylan Brooks of it all. I think even you would have like drafted a Shengun, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have actually used my Garube, but whatever. But it is what it is. I also wouldn't have
Dylan Brooks, Van Vliet.
Exactly. I wouldn't have done that. But it is what it is. Anyways, they got a lot of talent. They I think will have a lot of quote unquote sneaky wins this year. They're gonna sneak up on people. I don't think they're gonna end up like, you know, being a playoff team.
They might be like a 10 seed and be a play-in team and then lose to like the Pelicans.
I could definitely see that. We kind of got off topic on focusing on AD and LeBron of what I originally had thought we were talking about. But I mean,
let's go into the new starting lineup at least then.
Yeah,
just to kind of talk about Austin fully off the bench.
Off the bench, I think is fine. It's not my favorite idea, but I get it just because like he's not fitting super well with D'Lo, because they don't have that elite defender next to them. I hate with Vando. I would try it again, but while Vando's out, I think you need to make a switch. I think Rui needs to start. If Austin isn't starting, Rui needs to start. Because
there's not enough scoring for my liking in that, at least for like the first quarter, third quarter.
It's really interesting. You have these, like, we were talking before we started recording, and or at least I think you said it before we started recording, of Austin is averaging 18 points a game, like, quietly. It does not seem like he is scoring 18 points a game. And then, you know, like D'Lo, I don't know exactly what he's scoring at the moment per game, but like he's a good score as well. Let me see if.
Let me actually change what that might have been a more truncated, like in the last like four games sort of thing. Cause now I'm looking at the numbers and he's up to like, I think like 13-4-3. Essentially, right now, Austin. Okay. But he's shooting 80% from the line.
But then D'Lo's at 18 points a game. Does not really feel like it. You know, does not really feel like it.
He very quietly gets, because, like, I mean, he had like that game in Houston where he had like 25, but like yesterday against the Suns, he had 19, 9 assists. I don't really think he turned the ball over that much. And he didn't play in the fourth quarter. And I get why he didn't. I'm not like against him not playing like mad that he didn't play in the fourth quarter, but like, I don't know. I feel like the D'Lo discourse and the Austin discourse at this point is so overblown that like, it's so frustrating because like, and you know, I might be treading to the point where like, I'm probably more likely to be more open to like swapping out D'Angelo for like a Caruso when it comes to like maybe not like he's getting traded to the Bulls sort of thing, but in like in a roundabout way, you get Caruso and you ship out D'Lo. I'd be fine with that because I do really think they need another really good defender, or at least great defender. And Caruso is it crazy to say he's the top five defender in the league, regardless of position?
He was first team all defense last year. No,
because it's like Jane McDaniels. It's AD. It's OG. It's, am I missing somebody? It's probably like Caruso and like Giannis or something, yeah. Like, or maybe put like someone else in there for Giannis. So that's probably what you're looking at. He's somehow gotten better defensively since he's been on the Lakers, which is crazy to think because he was that level of defender, but it's like not this big. But I am a lot more open to it, to trading D'Lo away and getting a Caruso in, because I don't think Austin's the one that you deal. If you have to deal the two, one of the two, it's pretty easily D'Lo. As much as I like D'Lo,
yeah,
you keep the younger guy. You keep the guy who, frankly, he might be more talented. I don't know if that's kind of stretching it. I think he's at least at equal level of talent to D'Lo.
With Austin, I think what it is you're going to be getting that consistency even in crunch time.
Yeah.
You know,
he's been this year in crunch time, he has been very big.
Yeah. With D'Lo, you know, we always, you know, I like to think back of like the night, I think it was after his grandmother had passed, you know, or like back in summer league, you know,
the three pointer against the Sixers,
know, the ice in his veins,
ice in his veins, yeah.
But like that's never really followed through.
He's more of a three quarter player.
Yeah, and you know, like if I'm not saying that D'Lo should be shipped out tomorrow.
No, it would have to be a Caruso type of guy or a package for a bigger player, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely like Chicago, D'Lo for like Caruso and like Dalen Terry, just to match salaries close.
And you'd very likely have to throw a first in there, in my opinion. I think they'd ask for a first because quite
possible.
Of the way that D'Lo is perceived, and he's uninspiring.
Technically, yeah, because the second year is a player option.
Oh yeah, that's true.
But you know, I wouldn't just like who are the Lakers getting? You know, like I keep seeing like you gotta trade him, and like if you want to move D'Lo, fine, like whatever, I'm open to it. Obviously been a fan for a long time, but like if you got to move, you got to move him. Like whatever. Who are you trading him for? And if you say Kyrie, just go ahead and shoot yourself. Yeah, I'm going to let that linger there for a minute.
Yeah.
The Mavericks are not trading you Kyrie Irving for D'Angelo.
Oh yeah, they're not, cuz he's actually been good for them so far this year.
Like I'm so tired of hearing Kyrie Irving's name. He's not coming to the Lakers.
He's not going to be a Laker. The only time I see him being a Laker is on like the last legs of his career at this point, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I just like I'm so tired of hearing that. Like
and it's very slowly turning into Zach LaVine, by the way.
Yeah.
It's turning into Zach LaVine. And no. I'm sorry. I he's not a winning player, in my opinion.
So first off, Kyrie signed a 3-year, $120 million deal. Okay.
Yep.
So his average salary this year is $37 million. What are you packaging that one Dallas wants?
Yeah.
Nothing. They don't want anything from you. Because
you know what I think they would actually want? It would probably be Austin Reeves.
Be Austin, yeah. But like that gets Austin, which is at like 12, give or take, I think it is.
If you're not dumping Austin, it would have to be like
we'll say 13. Well, let me round up to 14.
Yeah,
with him and D'Lo, or D'Lo, you're at 31, and I think you're still gonna have to throw in something else.
If you're not including Austin, you essentially have to trade everyone that you just signed.
Yeah. And I'm fine trading, you know, Gabe and Taurean. I already don't think that. I already think the Lakers have so many guys that need minutes that those two are, I'm totally fine with moving.
And I think at this juncture, it's more likely to be Taurean Prince if Vando comes back and he's healthy.
Yeah. Gabe Vincent, like, is essentially a two and a one's body. Mm-hmm. And I just do not see the appeal. I know Alan said that his brother, you know, is a Miami fan, and
yeah,
and he said like they miss him. I don't think Miami really gives a shit about
Gabe. They miss Miami Gabe Vincent. Like, yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, but even then, I told you to go back and look at Gabe Vincent when it's not two playoff series. He's a mid player at best.
And it's just the Heat role player scenario as
always,
well.
Always what happens, but whatever. Anyways, like I'm you're bottom line, you're not getting Kyrie. You're just not.
No.
Like,
and I don't think you're getting Zach LaVine either.
Well, and Zach LaVine's at 40.
Yeah.
Like, you're giving up. You're then giving up, like, and that's not even including Caruso. Then you're getting to 50. At that point, you're giving Austin, you're giving D'Lo, you're giving Rui, and if, you know, someone else if you need to. I'm not doing that. Like, I like Zach LaVine. I have liked Zach LaVine since UCLA. I'm not doing that.
And if you're just trying to get Caruso, you're not getting rid of any of those guys. It's at like maybe Gabe Vincent.
Oh,
I'm just saying what I think the Lakers would do.
Yeah,
you're not giving up anyone except for maybe Gabe Vincent. But my guess is they would want like JHS in a first. Is my guess on that? And then like salary matching. If it's Lotto potential, yeah. I think I do it.
Yeah, I would be fine moving a pick or JHS. I'm not doing both.
Both. Yeah, you have to get something else back if you're doing both.
Yeah. And Chicago sucks ass. There's not other than Caruso. There's literally no one else on that team. I like Dalen Terry, but he's a 6'7" shooting guard wing that can only defend. We already have Cam Reddish, who can only really defend. And he's slightly bigger. And then you have Max, who I would rather play over him as well. So like
right now, Caruso is that meme or that picture of like a Ferrari under an awning of like a trailer home. That's essentially what he is at the moment.
Yep. I love LaVine. If LaVine was at 30, I'd be like, okay, D'Lo, Gabe Vincent first, whatever, do it. You know, like I do love LaVine. Do I think that would like solve your issues? Not really. LaVine doesn't really defend. He's not
and a he primary a rebound.
Yeah, he's not a primary ball handler. He's a scorer.
We've seen when this team has done well, and it's when they've defended. And if all game has to be all the games have to be close, then it is what it is. I trust this. Honestly, I trust this team in crunch time a lot more than I have in recent times because of LeBron and Caruso.
I trust them against good teams more than I trust them against bad teams, which is
why I'm saying it should be a big stretch of games coming up right now because it's a lot of bad teams, but I worry about it, you know? Hopefully Shaedon Sharpe doesn't drop like 50 on us tomorrow. God, I love Shaedon Sharpe, but yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's just the main, like, it's really it's the rotations, it's the injuries, and it's the rebounding. Like, I'm not even that worried about the shooting, because I like even like the Lakers shooting curse. D'Lo and Austin have proven they can shoot well on this team, on the Lakers.
Yeah.
Even if it jumps like 5% more for each guy, that's still a lot better than what you're getting, especially with them shooting a combined almost 10 threes a game. So instead of like making three threes, you're gonna make four threes a game, and that changes a lot. You know, so that's going to change. I'm just more worried about the defensive rebounding, which Vando helped a lot, and the rotations, which I honestly think there can be some truncating once Vando comes back. Because I think Ham really likes Vando. Who loses the minutes is what I worry about. I worry that it's Rui, and I worry that it's Christian Wood.
That would be the dumbest decision.
I understand, but like especially if Gabe Gibbons is back.
At some point, then you as a front office have to go to him and just be like, we just paid Rui Hachimura $351. Play his ass over a dude that we're paying $4 million a year. Rui is a potential quote unquote cornerstone of the team. Yeah. While there's a reason why Torian Prince is a biannual exception. And there's a reason why he went for that. The Lakers were going to pay him more than anyone else, stupidly.
Yeah.
I said it then. Like, I didn't think that was a great use of the biannual. Like, I just didn't.
I still think it was fine. It's just I didn't really see many options out there that I really liked more. I mean, outside of like maybe a Jalen McDaniels, who's more of like a
defender.
Yeah.
Offensive. But I mean, hey, at least he can defend. I don't really think Torian is a good defender.
Yeah. I mean, it's there. Like, this seems to happen a lot since the first Frank year. They want to trust guys who are essentially vet mins more than they want to do the guys who they're paying a lot of money. And for better or for worse, and the for better is like Russell Westbrook, and the for worse is like, you know, Austin and Rui and guys like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's right now the team is both frustrating and very hard to actually like break down, just because it's like, this isn't like, oh, wait until Ariza gets back. Like, this isn't that. I've seen some comparisons to that. That was a 38-year-old Trevor Ariza. This is a 23, 24-year-old Jared Vanderbilt, who is a legit elite defender and helped a lot of your main issues right now.
Yeah.
And as much as like we're dumping on him, not having Gabe Vincent, it's hurting too. Like, it puts a lot more, in my opinion, it puts a lot more onus on like an Austin and D'Lo to kind of press and try to create more themselves. And I think Gabe, if used correctly, helps them balance that out more. Again, that's a big if used correctly.
I have a hard time agreeing.
It's just, I understand they just don't have a ton of creation at the moment, or they're not. And I think we've seen like the worst of what Gabe has to offer. We've yet to see the some of those good games that will come. Like, they will come, those big games. Like, big as in, like, he finally makes more than one three in a game. Has he made more than a three? Was it just that one three that he's made?
I think it's literally just the one.
That's so funny. But obviously more so Vando than anything, because he does fix a lot. And even if it's just for the regular season, he brought that Lakers team last year to a top five defense. And that was purely on him, because it was the same stuff that AD had. And not that, like, obviously AD is a great defender, but he needs that other guy.
Yeah.
He, like, you can't just place four bad defenders or four guys who don't really want to try on defense.
Yeah.
Next to AD and expect the top whatever defense. Like, they're figuring out ways to take AD out of the equation defensively, because there isn't another guy who's going to be rotating as hard and have as much energy as a Jared Vanderbilt. So they badly need Vanderbilt back. I said it before, I'd be pretty surprised if he's not back by maybe not this upcoming slate of games, upcoming week of games, probably the week after that is probably the latest I'd expect him back. I can see him back as soon as maybe that Grizzlies game, which I think is Tuesday or Wednesday, something like that.
I haven't seen any update on that personally, so I don't even want to guess.
Yeah, I mean, they said that they would reevaluate him in 2 weeks, right? The last time we got an update on him.
Yeah.
And I don't remember when that exactly was.
I think they were talking about, because they played in Phoenix, obviously, last night, that he was essentially going to be reevaluated when they got back. So,
okay. So, tomorrow, I'm assuming we hear an update on him, hopefully.
Hopefully. But before the game.
This next stretch of games is big. The West is kind of a clusterfuck right now. If you look at the standings, I mean, obviously, it's the beginning of the season, but like, there's a lot of teams underperforming on the East and the West. The Bucks have not been good. They have been average at best. Mm-hmm. The Clippers, have been awful since James Harden has been there.
That one, oh my God.
Did you see that? You saw that clip of that Mavericks guy, right? Oh, so good.
Of you got exactly what you wanted and eat at each stop, and then you're running. Oh my God. It was a thing of beauty. I didn't know it was the Mavericks announcer.
It was either Mavericks or Pelicans. Because I might have seen Smoothie King Arena, and I know that's the Pelicans Arena. It's one of the two, but it was.
I think it was that game against Dallas. So I think.
Yeah. When they literally went on like a 58-17 run when Luka scored 42 on him in like 30 minutes.
It's just.
But like I said, the Warriors haven't been great. Like, they've been fine, but I think they're kind of averaging out because they had a hot start. The Kings, no De'Aaron Fox. The only team in the West that has been good,
the Nuggets.
Really, is the Nuggets. Yeah, and they just lost Jamal Murray for a month.
Oh shit! I didn't even see that.
He had a hamstring issue.
Ooh, buddy.
And then I need to look at the standings. But like, even in the East, like I said, the only team that have been really good in the East,
7-2. Timberwolves are 6-2. Yeah. Honestly, the Lakers at 4-5. The Lakers should be 6-3. They should have won against Miami, and they should have beat the Kings.
Yeah,
they should have beat the Kings. So, I mean, like,
you very well could make an argument that they could have lost to the Suns both times, and they could have lost to the Magic in that one home game, and they could have lost to the Clippers. But that's just kind of a
no, for sure. I'm not saying like it's like just
put well, no, them up no. There. It's no, no, I, mean, like, I know what you mean. I feel like I see a lot of people be like, "Oh, they could be 2-7," but they obviously they could have been very easily 6-3, and maybe even 7-2, because in that Nuggets game, they were going on that run, and then they took LeBron out, and then that run died.
Oh, man, does Darvin Ham have any other former head coach on the staff?
Who's his assistant, who's like associate head? It's not Handy, right?
I think it is.
Is he associate head coach now? I think who else is on that outside of like Jen? It's a bunch of PD guys.
I think you're right. I'm trying to pull it up really quick. I don't want players. I want the staff. You got Darvin. You got Chris Gent. Both. Chris Gents and Phil Handy are the assistants. And then you got Jordan Ott, who's also a shooting coach, I believe, as well. JD Dubois, Schuyler Rimmer, developmental guy, has to be. Zach Peterson, developmental guy.
I think the only guy who's on the staff who could be a head coach is Handy.
I forgot Damari Carroll was on staff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He just got hired this year.
Yeah, and then Micah Fraction is head video coordinator, another assistant coordinator. I think the one thing that I love Phil Handy. Love Phil Handy. I think he should honestly have gotten a head coaching job.
Probably.
Opportunity. Like and the Lakers are blessed that they have him. They still are. I do wish that the Lakers or that Ham had another former head coach on there. You know, like
that isn't like
Frank Vogel. David Fizdow. Yeah. Well, Vogel also had like Mike.
Lionel Hollins.
Lionel. You're right. It was Lionel.
I remember when they hired him, people were losing their mind.
Yeah, I think it was because it was like Lionel was not.
He was a very old school coach.
Yeah, I feel like also, who the hell did I just say?
Mike Woodson. I think Woodson was on a Clippers bench.
Maybe you're probably right. Maybe I just saw. It was on the Clippers, and then he went back to the Knicks as an assistant, and then he's at Indiana.
Speaking of guys who I'm shocked that isn't a head coach yet, Sam Cassell.
I know. I think a former head coach to help him with rotations would be just beneficial, because like if anything, Darvin kills momentum, which is just insane. I don't necessarily am a huge believer in momentum, but damn, like
run. When you're on a run, you're on like a 10-0 run or something, and you are down by eight, like going into the fourth.
And it's just like, fuck.
They were down by eight going into the fourth. They went up by four after, like, it was like, I think Cam hit a three, Rui hit a three, Austin put him up by one, and then Cam hit another, or Christian Wood hit another three.
Yeah. I think the Lakers were up by, like, I think almost, it was like six or seven when he switched Cam Reddish out for Torian Prince. And yeah. Then it went like almost immediately down to two.
Oh, because it was like Kevin Durant.
Yeah. Essentially. It's just like as our buddy Raj had a video of, not many people can take a two-handed like rip from Kevin Durant, which I think was supposed to be a pass, but he just took it midair like that. You know, like I don't know what the analytics say of. Oh, I haven't personally seen Cam's analytics.
I think he's like a minus 10. I think the defense is like 10 points better when he's off the floor, which is why you need, I think analytics is like grain of salt, obviously.
Yeah.
Like he's been bad every game, but the Clippers and the Suns game. So I kind of get the frustration online about him, but also like he's also had those two huge games defensively. And
yeah.
The shooting is not that. I think we can all agree. It's nothing close to that.
No.
If it becomes that, then that's your starter. Okay. Pretty easily, that's your starter if it becomes that.
I think if you're not going to play Max, which is just – it feels like I'm beating my head into the desk until I have a bloody pulp. Like, it's just – you gotta play Max, man. Like, I understand he's a young player and like he's going to make stupid mistakes. This is a team that should be able to afford that. And it's not like Torian Prince is lighting. Like if Torian was shooting 45% from three and like a lockdown defender and grabbing a ton of boards, problem is he's not doing any of that. Mm-hmm. I would get it. You know, like I would just be like, oh, well, I guess Max just hasn't gotten there. I would probably be more annoyed with Cam, but like, Cam is defending well. I don't care what the analytics say. I've seen him
do too much against Kevin Durant and Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Like there isn't many times where I lean to the eye test on stuff, but this is one of those times where it's very obvious. He might not be the borderline elite defender that we were kind of saying he was in the last podcast. I don't think he is that because he's not consistent enough with it.
He's had moments of that,
and he's still only 24, obviously. So like,
well, and I think some of like the analytics got brought down by that Clippers game where
Paul, they were just making insane buckets on top of them. Yeah,
like Kawhi at the very beginning of the game, I think in the first quarter had 18, and then Paul George in the last quarter, and like the first few minutes of overtime had like 20. Like. Yeah. Which no one was going to stop because Paul George made a three in AD's face, man. Like,
that could have been Jaden McDaniels. That could have been OG. He would have made it over them.
It was Anthony Davis. Like, the guy that we say is at when he is at his peak is the best defender in the league. Like, he was making buckets in his face. Like, it was like you can't. There are times when good defense can't stop good offense. And, like, because the guy is just on a heater, and that's when those two guys were. They were killing it.
Yeah.
So like, I can't blame him for that. Like, no one was stopping either of those guys. Torian Prince sure fucking wasn't. So.
Yeah, it was Cam, and it was like some Max, and it was AD, and it was a team effort. Obviously, again, like, obviously defense is not a one on one. Like, there's times it is, but when you're
I've seen Max play better defense than Torian Prince this year. I don't want
to
hear that.
The drum that you're beating for Christie to play more is the same drum that I'm beating that people fucking forget how important Jared Vanderbilt is.
Oh, I know.
So, and it's gonna be hilarious when he comes back and he's like, he has like his own little like flurry of defense that we've seen him do before, and people out there, oh, Jared Vanderbilt. Yeah. He's good, obviously.
Oh, they just gave him 448. Shut the fuck up.
Top 20 at worst defender. Top 20, like 23, 24 years old. Like, we need to remember who were truly missing it. And yeah, he got played off the court in the playoffs. It was also some of the worst matchups he could have possibly gotten. After that, after Jaw, it was like the worst ones he could have gotten.
Also, yeah, also just incredible offense by Jamal and and Jokic. By the way, I know this is basketball. I don't want to hear anything about Florida State in any like title game or whatever. They only beat Miami by 7, and Miami hasn't been good this year. Just gonna put that out there. I, as a fan of the U, as if you've listened to this,
and not a fan of Florida State.
Yeah, 27-20. I'm sorry. Like you don't get to talk shit about how you like. I understand. I understand. Like they're the number 4 team in the nation. I don't care.
At least they're not. They're not. Jim Harbaugh-ing it, blatantly stealing signs.
I don't care. I guess like they're you're going to be. You have someone watching the sidelines. We did it in high school. Like,
I mean, I think Jim Harbaugh is kind of checked out at this point. I think he wants an NFL gig.
Yeah, he wanted it last year,
but Minnesota didn't roll the red carpet for him.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Oh, well, 2 years ago, I guess. But yeah,
I think they're doing fine with Kevin O'Connell. I think that's his name.
Yeah, O'Connell.
Yeah, but I think we talked out on Lakers. I do want to say, like, I don't hate Taurean Prince. I know, like, that has been, like, perpetuated even in our DMs. I don't hate Taurean Prince.
Misused.
But, damn, stop misusing him. Stop using him so much.
It is much more of a ham issue than it is an issue for those players who they've had issues, but it's more on Darvin for putting him in the position.
Yeah, Darvin. Darvin, if we had to give a grade for so far this year, I'm giving him a D-.
Yeah, I was going to be a little nicer and say a C-. But, yeah, there hasn't been improvements on the any system offensively. I understand wanting to keep guys ready, but, like, it shouldn't come at a cost of starting off a season slow again. We're lucky that a lot of teams in the West have also started very slow. Quite frankly, and if they make a run on these next like 5 to 10 games, then like there's a good chance Lakers are back in the like, top 4 seed pretty quickly. But he needs to figure out the rotation like tomorrow, yesterday, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's hard without at the very least one very important rotation player. But figure it out.
I don't know. I don't know what anyone, fan, coach, whatever, is watching when they see Taurean Prince on the floor and is like, you know what? He's playing really good. I think we need to keep his minutes up.
He was good in that Nuggets game, and that was about it, probably.
It was because he also shot really well. I don't even think he played very good defense. He's fine. Because
they had him on fucking Jamal Murray.
He's not fine. Michael Porter Jr. Yeah, that was such a bad. Like, he's a fine player. He's not a wing stopper like fans and apparently Darvin think he is. And he's not a shooter like fans and Darvin think he is.
The main hope is that what I've said that he's just playing him in the same role that Vando will be playing. That's the biggest hope, honestly.
Yeah.
That is why he's been played the way he is, just to like get everyone used to the defense, because this is what Vando's going to be doing. It's going to be a lot easier when Vando's doing it.
I don't know. I'm just really disappointed in a lot of stuff this year. I'm not saying like Darvin needs to be fired. I'm not saying like you need to gut the team. I'm not saying any of that. I'm really annoyed with a lot of stupid shit.
The funniest thing is we are a Cam 3 away from being 5-4 and probably like 5th in the West right now.
Yep. It is what it is.
I hope
this does not become a talking point the entire year of, man, we have heard a lot or Clayton is annoyed with how Gabe and Taurean are being used all year. I really hope that's not what this year becomes.
To be fair, there's a good chance the Lakers are like a 3 seed, and you could still be complaining about that.
Yeah, I mean, Kansas City's the 1 seed, and there's still plenty of shit for me to complain about NFL-wise as well. But no, I guess I'm not even here to say like I have a better offensive system or anything like that than Darvin, or that I'm a better play development. No. I'm not making millions of dollars doing that. Clearly, I'm just a teacher doing a podcast with his buddy.
I think the funny thing about it is too, I've seen some like NBA people like that I like at least respect their opinion when it comes to, like X's and O's, like what's his name, Steve Jones, I think his name is, and like. There's a lot of good action with bricking threes, you know?
Yeah.
So it just comes down to so many different factors. Just get me Jared Vanderbilt back so I can see what this team actually is.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I need to be expecting a championship or if I need to be expecting a first round out. Barring injury, they're still a playoff team. Like, this isn't Russ where they're probably not a playoff team, even with everyone healthy. They're still, worst, like a 7 seed, I think, honestly.
Yeah, I think with the positive regression that should come, this Lakers team should be a top 5 defense when everyone's healthy. And I'll say a top 10 or a top 5 defense and a top,
like, yeah, 15 top 5. Offense.
Yeah, I mean, like,
I'm just hoping for top 12 in both, honestly. That's all I'm hoping for.
Like, if Austin and D'Lo shoot the way that they should, you know, and Torian Prince, if it isn't shooting 17.6 fucking percent from three, you know, like in the
easiest shot.
God, there was 3 times against the Nuggets where he had a corner shot and I was like, that's a brick. No one was around him, and I was like, that's a brick. And it was just clang, like. Fuck.
Yeah. Well, we better get off before we keep going around in circles on this.
before I continue my bitch fit. It's understandable. Okay. Thank you all for listening. Next time we'll either have Alan on, or Raj already said that he wants to definitely podcast with us again, our good buddy.
Hopefully we're riding a 5-game win streak by then.
God. Yeah. How many games do they have? This is Saturday the 11th.
So they play tomorrow. They play Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, I want to say. I know there's a back-to-back coming
tomorrow, up. Tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, yes.
Yeah.
So we should be recording before that Sunday when they play the Rockets. We're gonna try and have at least a Saturday schedule this week and next week. Actually, if Merge is available one of those nights, may be able to do something, or Alan or whatever, because it is getting to holiday time, and which means for me, going to be a little bit easier time, thankfully.
Yeah. Yep.
So,
for sure.
Cool. All right. Thank you all for listening. Go Lakers, even though I'm annoyed.
Bye.
That's always fine.